Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 55 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. In this episode, I talked to Charlie McKenna from Lily's Q in Chicago, Illinois. Super excited. We talk about his restaurants in Chicago. We talk about his product lines. We talk about his history. And like many people, he didn't start specifically in barbecue. He was in fine dining and then moved towards the barbecue restaurant. Just a wealth of knowledge. So interesting. Deep history in Chicago as well as the competition circuit. I know you're going to love this. If you're liking these, please subscribe. That way you can get all the back episodes. I have a YouTube channel at youtube.com/kevinsbbqjoints. I also have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com, but enjoy this. Good morning, Charlie. How you doing?
I'm good. I can't complain.
What's your day look like today?
Today, pretty mellow, just in the restaurant. Going through emails, walking around, testing the food, doing all that sort of thing. So
doing a thing like this in the morning.
Yeah, doing interviews in the morning.
When you say the restaurant, are you at the main Lily's Coup?
Yeah, we call the one in Bucktown in Chicago, like Mothership. Okay. So that's sort of where everything stems from. That's where our offices are for the products company. That's where our offices are for all of our ventures. I'm in that new location right now.
Okay, cool. Well, what's your background? Because I know that you went to CIA, but did you grow up in Chicago? Did you grow up in Illinois?
No, I'm originally from Greenville, South Carolina.
Okay.
Originally, what I really got into was fine dining. So I went to the Culinary Institute of America in New York. And then from there, I went to work for great chefs in New York, Miami, and Chicago. All super high-end, 3-star Michelin, 2-star Michelin type places. So really spent most of my chef years doing that. I got into barbecue because obviously from the South, me and my father were always into it. And then we started cooking competitions so that we could meet up on weekends and see each other. Me and my dad are really close.
His name is in the actual name of your restaurant, right?
Yeah. So Lily's Q is a three-part-pronged story. Lily is my grandmother from Greenville, South Carolina. She's the one that had me in the kitchen when I was younger, learning biscuits and gravy, country ham, really getting involved with the Southern lifestyle and the Southern family. You know, she was a grandmother that cooked everything. All our family meals were at home. So she kind of spurred my interest into cooking. So that's sort of why I named it after her. The Q obviously stands for barbecue. It also stands for my dad's name, Quito.
Okay.
So he goes by Quito. It was a nickname that was given to him when he was about 5 years old because he lived in Mexico for a little bit with his father who was in textiles. And, you know, so it's kind of an homage to those two plus – you know, the word barbecue.
Wow. That worked out perfect.
Kind of laid right in.
Yeah. So did you guys do what competitions were you, and were you under the name Lily's Q when you guys were doing your competition?
We didn't start with Lily's Q. We started with some other names and then we, you know, kind of migrated to that once we really got the idea for the restaurants going. So we've cooked under a couple different names throughout the thing, but most of the years recently have all been under Lily's Q. We obviously cook the Memphis Barbecue Network circuit, which is the whole hog, whole shoulder, rib category. We used to do anywhere from 5 to 15 of those a year.
That's a good amount.
It used to be a ton of work, right? So now we just do Memphis in May normally, unless there's some special event that comes up.
Wow. And 2 years ago, you won first place for whole hog, right? Pork shoulder.
Yeah, we won in 2007 and we won in 2016.
So, 2007. I forgot about
that. We've always done really well on the circuit. We've always been, hopefully, considered one of the better teams. You know, when we first started, we were terrible, right?
what were you cooking on back then?
It's like everyone else. Oh, God. When we first started, I think we were cooking on a Pits and Spits from Texas. Mm-hmm. I don't think it had anything to do with the pit. It was more our style, I think. Obviously, I was a chef, so I was kind of trying to include some of that stuff in there. And, you know, when you go to barbecue competitions, it's a lot of just like, hey, let's cook traditional style barbecue from each region. Over the years we continued to evolve and change things and, you know, it kind of, you know, grew into something that we did pretty well at.
And you were thinking along the lines of, I'd like to have a restaurant someday. Were you thinking I want to have a barbecue restaurant or just a fine dining restaurant?
Yeah. So, the funny story is like I created all the rubs and sauces that you see in retail now for the barbecue team. Cause we would go from region to region. And I wanted the judges to taste what they were familiar with, because the judges are normally near that center or where we're getting judged at,
we're in.
I mean, I think what happened was, I was in 2008, I was talking to some investors about opening a more fine dining Southern restaurant in Chicago, because that's where I was at the time. Well, everyone knows what happened then. The investors pulled out. So we had bought a barbecue restaurant in Destin, Florida. And my dad runs that one day to day. And after that, they pulled out. I started thinking, well, how could I bring barbecue to Chicago and do it in a little bit more upscale matter than what, you know, they're, you know, the throwaways and the sit downs, something for the Chicago market, basically. So that's how we kind of spurred the barbecue restaurant. So I always wanted to do a restaurant, not specifically a barbecue restaurant. But after we, you know, we won Memphis and then opened the one in Destin, it kind of turned into a business.
Is the one in Destin, is it similar at all menu-wise?
Not really. So the one in Destin is a typical shack, right? It's just a walk-up window with a patio. There's no indoor seating.
Okay.
One, it has like cold sides, baked beans, because you can hold them in a warmer, and then just the straight barbecue. Here in Chicago, we do, you know, appetizers, fried pickles and hush puppies, and we do a table burger. Then we go into the barbecue section. We also have a fried chicken section on the menu at the time right now. This one also has a full bar where we don't have any beverages. We have Cokes and stuff in Destin, but no liquor.
Okay.
A full bar with draft lines and all that stuff. So this is more of the full service restaurant, where that's kind of the quick service model.
Okay, interesting. And now you have three more, one, two, three. Four total in Illinois, right? In Chicago, essentially.
We do three more kind of the quick service model. One is in a train station where the suburb trains come in. And then two of them are in the United Center where the Bulls and Blackhawks play.
Gotcha. And then, what was the reception at the beginning when you first opened? Were people gravitating towards that style? And I know that was Smoke open at the time?
Smoke was open. So they were kind of the originator of doing better barbecue on the north side of Chicago, or different barbecue, let's say, than the south side does.
The traditional,
traditional Rip Tibbs Aquarium Smoker, whatnot. Smoke kind of brought a Texas feel, because they do their main, you know, meat item was brisket, and they're really good at it. We kind of brought the Carolina style. So, you know, we didn't do brisket. We did tri-tip, because my dad was in the military and he was stationed in California for a little bit.
Oh, that's cool.
So we brought tri-tip here, and then we also brought more of the pork shoulder, whole hog, ribs, pork ribs, baby backs, kind of a blend between Carolina and Memphis.
Gotcha. Okay.
And I think people, you know, they gravitated to it well. I mean, I think they really enjoyed it. It was probably a style that they weren't used to as much. And, you know, we had a good receiving in the community, and I think people, you know, still really enjoy the restaurants.
So. Yeah, from the get-go, I remember hearing about it, and then I know that it got a lot of great write-ups. And then
Food & Wine named us best new barbecue in the country. You know, we got a decent amount of other write-ups. We were doing something that I think, you know, most people hadn't seen yet, because no one really had combined barbecue with an upscale environment.
No.
We were probably one of the first ones, probably in the country, I think, that was trying to do
that. I think you were, for sure.
So I think, you know, people love barbecue, but in Chicago you have that, you know, I don't want to say snobby, but the foodies, right, of the world. They want to sit in a nice environment. They want to have cocktails, and they want to have the whole experience. So that's kind of what we tried to bring them with the style of food of barbecue.
You were matching the diner, like the food to the diner that Chicago has. And that's ideal. Did you create your sauces? I know you had your sauces for competition, but when did you start bottling that? When did that little empire begin?
So I kind of bottled it. I bottled it before, and I was just trying to, like, you know, get them out and selling. But I knew when we opened the restaurants that people would hopefully want to take one home, that they enjoyed it enough that they would take it home. So we started bottling mainly out of the one in Bucktown that I'm sitting in the basement in 2010. Mainly it was bottled just because I thought people would buy it, you know, from the restaurant.
Yeah, then, which happens a lot.
And then, you know, a small grocery store in the neighborhood, that kind of neighborhood grocery store, came to us and said, hey, we'd like to carry your sauce. And I'm like, well, how much do you think you're going to need? He's like, you know, a case of each, maybe a week or something. I'm like, all right, great. Here you go. And then a distributor came, and then we, you know, another distributor, and then, you know, people started seeing it, these small grocery stores in Chicago. Then it just kind of like domino effect.
And how many did you have at that time?
How many stores?
No, how many different sauces?
Oh,
you didn't have all those. Oh, you had all six at the beginning?
Oh, okay. We had six since the beginning.
Okay.
Yeah.
And even ENC was the beginning too?
Well, that one probably came 6 months to a year afterwards, after the opening of the restaurant. Just because we started working on that flavor, just because I knew it was a prominent flavor that I really enjoy that flavor. So
And what are those six? So people know, I'll put links to everything, and I'm gonna have a companion blog piece with this, so that way. I think it's interesting. People see them on the shelves and probably maybe don't necessarily tie it to you.
Yeah, we our packaging is really minimalistic, and we don't really prominently put out Lily's Q on there. It's more about the flavors and the look. So the two Memphis style sauces are Smoky and Hot Smoky, which are sweet and have a little smoke to them. Hot Smoky just has more heat behind it at the end, a little more cayenne kick. Then we go into what we call Carolina, which is our Western North Carolina sauce. Mm-hmm. So that has a tomato vinegar, base. Then we go into ENC, which is Eastern North Carolina. That has a straight vinegar and spice, which has some heat behind it as well. We go into Gold, which is our South Carolina mustard sauce, my favorite, obviously what I grew up with.
Yeah.
People are usually, their favorite usually is what is closest to what they were eating since they were a kid.
Oh, for sure.
And then after Gold, we go into Ivory, which is our Northern Alabama white sauce, basically.
That's so great. And you could, it's, and people will be surprised. I think isn't there a store locator too that people can do?
Yeah.
I'll put a link to that.
Go to a store locator, and it's not always exactly up to date, but we try to keep it up to date as possible. We're actually working on a new website to kind of make it more efficient, but we're in 6,000 grocery stores across the country now, with at least probably three flavors in those to four, maybe sometimes six.
I saw all six at Pavilions, Vaughn's Pavilion.
Oh yeah, Vaughn's Pavilion
over here in Los Angeles. I was like, oh, okay, that was just kind of funny that I was talking to you today, but I had seen it.
Yeah, they're a good customer of ours. California is really one of our growing markets because they've never been like, California is a tough market, right? They enjoy their own style of food, so even American barbecue has never really hugely taken off there. I think in the recent years it's starting to. So. Mm-hmm.
And I think people get really excited about things in California, then move on to the next thing they're really excited about. Yeah, it's sad. It's
right. Like, hey, this is the next thing. Yeah, there's the next thing.
So. It could, and then the people keep offering the next thing. That's the problem. And people keep moving here and changing things. And no, I wish we don't have like a rich, we have obviously like the tri-tip, like the Santa Maria style, but that rich tradition, it's still kind of moving. I think a lot of people are importing the Central Texas style now.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, Central Texas right now is huge everywhere. Mm-hmm. I think, with the beautiful moist brisket and all that stuff. So.
Oh yeah. Are you doing Memphis in May this year?
We are. Yes. So that's one contest we'll always do. That one for me is, I love to compete and I love to try and cook against the best and try and win, but more it's just the camaraderie of seeing the people that you haven't seen in a year or, you don't cook on the circuit as much anymore, so you don't see them. And then three of my buddies come down with me just to help me out. So that's just us partying for, 5 days basically.
So, what does that entail? What people that might not know, what does that entail? It is roughly 4 to 5 days. Is that what it is?
Well, our trailer has to be in on Monday.
Okay.
The contest doesn't – you actually don't start cooking meat until Friday morning. So from Monday till Friday, I'm in Memphis, just sort of hanging out and, seeing people that we haven't seen and having fun, right?
Oh, that's cool. That's such a great – I need to go sometime. I've just heard great things. And it sounds like something like there's obviously rich history, but you guys have a history amongst other teams. And
oh, I mean, there's people, that we've been cooking with or against for, 15 years probably. So you've built up a relationship and their kids and when they're graduating and all that sort of stuff. So it's good to see all those people every now and again. So it's great. And the barbecue business as well.
Usually. Do you have a specific spot that you're at that are next to the same guys? And
yeah. So,
people want to go see
obviously the contest is in Tom Lee Park, which is on the Mississippi River. Mm-hmm. Our booth is always facing the river on, the shoulder end.
Okay.
And usually we're next to Big Bob Gibson. So we're usually either right next door or someone's right between us. Recently, Peg Leg Porker, who's a friend of ours, has been between. So it's usually us three just sitting in a row facing the river.
You and Carrie and Chris.
Yeah. Just hanging out, drinking beers, and, cooking barbecue, which is
And Carrie's causing trouble, right?
Oh, God. That guy, he's he loves his karaoke, right? So he's always, he's got his trailer with the TV that has the words, and he's got a loudspeaker with a microphone that he's walking around singing on. It gets pretty common, especially after a couple beers he has. It's like, or he's drinking his own bourbon. Once he starts drinking his own bourbon, it's like, oh my. my God.
Yeah, even like I've heard that. This is like the third person to mention that. I think Ray Lampe said that, and then I think someone else said that that's the first. I think actually Ray didn't like him at the beginning. Like Carrie and Ray were, odds like the first year because he's like kept him up all night. And Carrie loves the fact that he kept him up all night.
Yeah, he Carrie really likes to drop a few back, which is great. It's great for me. It's great to be next to you because it's like. You know, it's entertainment for us. we don't have to turn on our TVs or anything. We just watch their trailer and listen to people sing karaoke.
That's awesome.
Pretty badly.
So you have a fried chicken restaurant too now, right? Or a shack?
Yeah. So it's part of Lily's Q in Bucktown. So we carved out the front of the restaurant and we made it like a takeout window.
Oh, cool.
So we do delivery, we do takeout, and then we also serve it in the restaurant as well.
Okay. Is it a specific style?
So we do an original Southern fried chicken, but we also offer three different kind of flavor profiles. One being the original, two being Nashville hot. And then the third one is a Carolina style where we actually take our E&C sauce and drizzle that on the chicken.
Oh, wow. Is there one that's more popular?
I would say right now, probably original or Nashville hot. Nashville hot's hot everywhere,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. When
you see big brands like KFC starting to do stuff, you know it's more than a trend. It's actually something that is going off. But
that is true.
And that chicken style is so good. Like, I love spicy stuff. So I think right now, even in Chicago, there's a couple places that have opened that are doing just Nashville chicken. So I think that's probably the most popular right now.
It's funny, too, because people like, here in Los Angeles, people wait up to 3 hours at Howlin' Ray's for their chicken. But people say, like, for a sandwich. But then you eat it, and then you realize, like, the endorphins, there's something special about that kind of heat, and it's a different type of heat.
Yeah, it is a different type of heat. It definitely gives you endorphins, right? Yeah. people, you know, if some place gets hot, right, they'll wait forever for things, which is – I'm a no wait person. I don't like to wait at all. Probably because I'm in the food business. So I'm like, I'll come back when it's, you know, not as busy, but you know, good, great for them that they can get a line going. And
do you travel around for barbecue at all? When you travel, do you go to Texas at all? Or do you get a chance to?
So I was just in Austin recently, you know, and ate kind of the whole thing, went to Snow's, Franklin's, Law Barbecue, all those places, which were all phenomenal. I don't necessarily travel for barbecue, but if there's a place that has notoriety in the city, then I'll definitely try it out or go test it out with some friends or whatever.
Well, I want to wrap it up by saying, like, what does barbecue mean to you? Like, what is that? Like, could you have imagined that it would be what it is today?
Yeah. I mean, barbecue to me is, it kind of relates back to family and friends and camaraderie, closeness, fun, excitement, right? All those things kind of describe it for me just because that's what's always been around a barbecue. So when I'm cooking, it's either one of those groups of people that's hanging out with me, which is always, you know, a great time and fun. I never, ever thought I would be cooking barbecue at this stage. You know, if you would ask me 15, 20 years ago when I was doing fine dining, I'd be like, I mean, I love barbecue, but I doubt I'll be cooking it. But, you know, it's really turned into something that it's a restaurant group and a group of people that, you know, unlike chefs who are a little bit more competitive, we all kind of help each other out and talk to each other. And you like, you know, tell people, you know, how do you, you know, what we're doing and how we can help each other. And I love that aspect of the barbecue community. And I, you know, I love to support other people. I was just in Australia cooking at a restaurant down there.
Oh, really? Which one?
Fancy Hank's in Melbourne.
Okay.
We did, you know, American barbecue is huge down there. We did a pop-up down there. So we were there for 3 days. We cooked for around 500 people. Guests came through. Now I'm trying to get those guys to come back over and see, you know, the Chicago market.
That would be great.
Which, you know, Chicago has Smoke and us and a couple other people that are doing really, really good things. So I just love the aspect that, you know, the camaraderie around barbecue. And I think it's great.
Yeah, that's the one that's the common thread is that it's not as secretive. A lot of people think there's these secret recipes, and people do. You know, there's little bits, but it just feels like someone could contact you, and I was able to contact you to set up this interview. There's in other areas of the chef world, you couldn't reach out. It would take like years to get a hold of somebody.
They just wouldn't be cool enough to even email back, right?
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's minor secrets that people hold, you know, a little dear that they think are sacred, but for the most part, you know, I'm willing to share anything. I kind of think of it as like, you know, Tiger Woods can teach you to hit a golf ball, but you still got to go play against him, right?
So, you're not going to be Tiger Woods. Yeah, exactly.
Right? So it's like, you know, I can tell you exactly how I cook things, but until you actually cook on your cooker over hundreds of cooks, you know, it's still something that's a little bit more nuanced and you really need to know, you know, and have experience, right?
Yeah, for sure. And people can also, I was looking, people can order your pork shoulder too, right? You do ship.
Yeah, you can get our, you know, our Memphis and May style, the same way we cook it at Memphis and the same way we cook it in restaurants with the same rubs. It's on our website. You can order our pork. It comes with a bottle. You can order bottles of sauce. So, you know, you can get the whole package. It comes in a 3-pound package, which, you know, approximately feeds, you know, 12 to 15 people. So it's a good thing for any type of sporting event or Super Bowl or any of those house parties you're having. Plus it heats up in 30 minutes. So it's easy.
Oh, that's great. That's easy. That's, and I want to start a series of ordering barbecue for online and shipping it and having friends over and doing like filming it, because I think that's something that people don't realize that they can do. And it's really cool. And it also, it gives me a chance to eat the barbecue.
I mean, if you can't get to the city, obviously it's not going to be as good as eating it fresh in the restaurant, but for most part, a lot of barbecues, you know, I know the Shed does it. We do it. Mm-hmm. You know, a couple of places in Memphis do it. North Carolina, Sam Jones and those guys ship their stuff. Texas. I mean, you can get all these guys barbecue. And if you live in L.A., you can have a chance to eat, you know, maybe not their top quality, but right underneath it.
Oh, yeah.
Which is always great for consumers and, you know, people. And then next time when you get in that city, you'll know, hey, I need to check this place out.
Exactly. And then get the whole experience. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, Charlie, thank you so much. Is there anything else that I missed that maybe people don't know about you?
No, I mean, I appreciate you having me on, and I look forward to seeing the interview when it posts, and, you know, thank you for the time.
Thank you so much. And then when I come to Chicago, there's a lot of places I want to see. I want to see the old aquarium style, but I'll probably definitely go to 2 or 3 of your restaurants as well.
Yeah, my first experience was down at Uncle John's, and there was like a bulletproof window with a slider down there, but the food, the sausages and the rib tips and all that was phenomenal. So it's definitely an experience that if you're into barbecue, you should hit some north side places and you should definitely get to the south side. They got some good different style barbecue going on down there.
And I was talking to Steve Dolinsky and he said that he does without sauce or sauce on the side. Is that how you do it there, or do you put it?
Yeah, I go everywhere sauce on the side. That's one of the reasons we put our 6 sauces on the table, is because most of the time I want you to eat the meat first, at least have a bite without sauce, right? Try the meat first and taste the meat and the smoke and what the pitmaster did. Then you can sauce all you want after you kind of get a taste of what the meat was.
I agree. No, that's a great tip. And I think that's for like across the board, because a lot of places too, like there are certain places that their sauce is what they are. Like that's their thing. I think even Alabama style, like Chris Lee, I think they don't dunk the chicken in the sauce. So
they dunk the chicken in the ivory and then send it. But the other ones, yeah, definitely try the meat first, and then you can start playing with their sauces and whatever.
For sure. Well, awesome. Well, have a great day. Have a nice rest of your week.
All right. Appreciate your time.
Thanks so much. Take care.